Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I told my wife we had to get control of the finances in our household. We had to sit down and make a budget we could live by. I said, we'll list our incomes and all our bills, so get the bills, honey, if you will. And she got them and stacked them on the table 3 piles high. Now I work 2 jobs, and the wife cleans homes, and her daughter babysits, and the son mows lawns, but that budget wouldn't balance no matter how we tried. So I said, let's do what the government does. It works for them, it might work for us. So I forgot my ethics and morals and swallowed my pride. We took out every credit card we could get and loaded them up with the maximum debt and borrowed from friends and family and even took out loans overseas. I borrowed at work, had credit at the store till folks just wouldn't give us credit anymore. And I said, honey, the next step is clear to me. And now we've got money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we're printing it in the basement just as fast as we can. We're making money, Obama money. Yeah, we live in the Obama budget plan.
Well, we didn't use the money to reduce our debt. There was a whole bunch of things we still wanted to get now that we had more money than ever before. So we built a deck and a patio, put in a pool, bought a second home, took all the friends on vacation to Costa del Sol.
Cause we got money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we're printing it in the basement just as fast as we can. We're making money, we'll buy my money. Yeah, we're living the Obama budget plan.
Budget ceiling, credit score, don't worry about that, I'll just print more.
That money, we'll buy my money. Yeah,
hey, honey, make a run to Office Depot. I need more paper. Hurry back, I gotta pick up my new Cadillac this afternoon. And I'm printing you up a little surprise birthday stimulus package, too. Boy, I sure hope them spoil sport Republicans and Tea Party folks don't screw this up. Once you renounce any sense of decency, it gets easier and easier. You know, I think I'll just buy Boardwalk and Park Place. Hey, I wonder how much you want for that General Motors company there.
Good evening. This is the Hoot and Holler Gang. I'm Lonnie.
I'm Bill.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Jim.
And we're all from Southern Indiana. Oh, another one of those weeks, folks. Step by step, pinch by pinch, gathering up more of our freedom, more of our liberty, trying to figure out a way to deliver us from our money and our possessions, all for the good of who knows who.
Their pocket.
Here we are. Health care. Obama going to delay, throw another delay in there. I'm sorry, but he doesn't have that power. Once the law is passed as a law, it's a law. And it takes Congress to change that law. He can't just do it on his whim.
Well, the only reason he's putting a halt on it for right now is because
political.
It is a political. The elections are coming up, and he knows if that bad crap gets out, his political reign is over.
All he is doing is delaying the face from hitting the bottom sooner, that's all.
We keep seeing, if Obama's in the woods and he speaks, is he still lying if no one hears it?
I guarantee it's a lie. But I ain't seen it tell the truth yet.
No.
We're constantly, the attacks get harder, more openly. You're seeing more things coming out that they probably would have liked to keep a little less focus on. You're getting the healthcare bill besides itself is just one thing. There's still, even though the president and his administration would like to deny it, Benghazi's still a factor. Fast and Furious is still a factor.
Yep.
The IRS scandal is still a factor. The NSA is still a scandal. These are all still scandals, and they would like to put them to the side so nobody's paying attention. But then there are more things going on. You're seeing some Democratic leadership talking about limiting how much we can travel. They're using the global warming ideology behind it as a reason to limit our travel. Will limit carbon emissions.
Well, look at the snow and everything they're all getting. Georgia and all that's getting shut down because all the snow and ice. That's
South Carolina's about to get hit again. South Carolina's going to get hit.
Well, yeah, but they would tell you that it's been global warming causes global cooling. So the only problem they have is, like, for the last 17 years now, it's been global cooling, and there's no... There's nothing that backs up their global warming crap.
I think they need to go back to school.
No, what we need is we need to have a list put out there for all the public of the globe to see. Who are these people that were invested in carbon exchanges that are trying to bilk the rest of us out of money? If we ever saw the list of names of who these people were, I think it would be a mass understanding around the globe that we were all being conned.
We're all being duped. And they think we're all stupid and we don't
all
know
somebody else's pockets, fill somebody else's pockets and the hand power over to them.
No, I'm not saying it's just Obama. I'm saying it's Obama, it's Pelosi, it's Reed. You can go on and on, Boxer. You can keep going. And they're all crooked politicians.
But you could go on the other side and be saying the same thing about Obama.
On the other side. It's both sides. It's Republicans and Democrats. I think they need to learn the place where they're supposed to be. It's not their place to be in our pocket.
Well, according to them, many of them think that's what it is they are there for, is to determine how much the rest of us give to others. We, instead of someone coming up with a solution to put in jobs and stuff to get these people off of handouts, no, they're trying to create facets that lead to more handouts, more people being on handouts. Therefore, their ideology, if we can control the people through handouts and stuff, we control the people. True, and you see it on the Democratic side and their supporters and stuff down at the bottom. A lot of them, if a business offers to come into a place and raise the property values and stuff, I think Ron was talking about this last night on his show, a business had offered to do that and everything. They don't want that business in there because... Well, if it's a black neighborhood, they're saying, well, it brings more whites in. They don't want that in there. So throw out the segregation and all the other crap we've been fighting for hundreds of years, a couple hundred years now. You know, it's...
And I wish they'd get over that race thing. It's not any color. It's what's in your heart, your soul.
Well,
but he finds the person.
Yeah,
I mean, this race card, they've been pushing so hard here lately, and it's ridiculous because... We've got a lot of good, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of good black people. There's a lot of good Mexicans. There's a lot of good Spaniards. I mean, all kinds of different races. What's good people out there? Good-hearted, good-souled. And you got the few little bit of them. What's pushing this race issue? What's going to open up an old can?
Well, if you're an Al Sharpton or a Jesse Jackson, you've made your living off of race issues. Creating them if they're not there, creating them.
At my school, there's one black girl, okay, and I'm not saying Brownstown's racist or anything, but there's my little girl, she's 7 years old. Well, I'm supposed to say she's 7 years old, and there's a couple of girls in her class what don't want to be her friend. There's like 30 or 40 what is. But these couple girls don't want to be her friend because she's friends with this colored girl. Well, my daughter don't see it that way.
She should. And that's on the parents, and that's on the school system and everything else. It should never be seen that way. You know, there's too many people use that as a crutch, and they try to keep it up there so that when it really does happen, there's really, you know, nothing ever really applied to it. I disagree with the whole ideology of that. I was raised that you judge a person by their character and their content.
Yes.
And I know that on the inside, we all bleed red.
I met a lot of good people.
We all have the same organs.
A lot of good people. And being honest, there is quite a bit of lazy white people.
That's a fact. Well, that our area is evident of that.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, there's a few select people what they think that they can just run around and pop pills and do this and do that, and everybody else is just going to pay their way. Well, it's not like that. You've got to go out there and work to survive.
That's the thing there that you're talking about. There's addictions and drugs across this country, methamphetamine and other things, and you do have a society that teaches that their ideology is that the government owes you a living, the government owes you a house, the government owes you to supply you with food, the government owes you to pay your bills or whatever.
That's the ones that take that path for a career.
Yeah, and they end up never going anywhere, and they never understand why.
And I see a lot of it, most of it's a learned behavior, something they've just picked up on, you know.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. When they come out here and they're like, well, marijuana is the gateway drug. Well, crap. Pharmaceuticals, that's the leading right there.
Like Oxycontin, that's the gateway.
List everything in the world that gives you cancer.
Cigarettes, Hardee's buns,
how about list of what doesn't give you cancer? Strawberries.
Hello, Ron. How are you tonight?
Ron's right. It is easier to make a list of what does not give you cancer.
That's right.
Maybe about five things if they can figure it out.
Strawberries is the only one I know of that from the study that doesn't give you cancer. But, you know, oxygen
is probably right.
As long as it's pure oxygen, but then you get into a whole other problem. You know, I'm glad you guys brought up this topic. And it's kind of funny because, you know, none of us are perfect.
No.
And I grew up, man, you guys could be my kin. I mean, the way I grew up as a kid, the area I grew up in, Central Illinois, farmland, you know, we were just poor, but you didn't know you were poor. In our area, we weren't poor. But from the standpoint of where I live now, we were poor. We were poor damn rednecks and didn't know any better, you know, and didn't give a damn either.
And didn't give a damn. That's the biggest thing. Who cares?
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, I've spent so much time in when you get what you think you're after, okay, when you've been told your whole life that you got to grab that brass ring and whatnot, and you chase after it, and when you catch it, when you get it, and you become complacent. You know, the first time that we had the Patriot Families Reunion up there in Salem, Indiana, at Delaney Creek Park, we stayed in the lodge. My wife wasn't real happy about that. And I looked around, I told her, I said, well, you know, I didn't see the big deal. It, for me, it was like coming home. It wasn't an issue for me. And she didn't have, you know, her parents weren't terribly wealthy and all of those things. It's a matter of mindset more than anything. But I think it goes back to that old saying, don't get above your raisin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't fool yourself into believing that you're better than where you come from or that you're better than anybody else. Black, white, brown, green, it don't freaking matter. Money don't mean crap. And we're seeing that played out every single day. It's not about the money. It's about what's in your heart and the person that you are and how you treat others, regardless of what they look like or act like or talk like. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, if people are acting up and doing things they ought not to do, then it is our job to jerk their butts back in line. And if they don't like it, show them the door.
You know, the old saying is materialistic things is what it is.
It is. It's materialism.
People do not realize that, you know, I used to say to my young son, materialistic things does not make you a man, does not make you a person. It's the people that you have around you that respect you and understand you and how you treat them. And that's all it is. It has nothing to do with, oh, my God, I got a Cadillac and this guy's got a Ferrari. Who cares? I got a four-wheel drive.
Those things are cool. Right.
I mean, they're cool. Don't get me wrong.
Right. And it has its place, but it's the difference between owning possessions and being possessed by your possessions.
Exactly.
You know, when your possessions own you. And I taught all my children growing up that, you know, and you can ask any of them anytime, and you'll see, you know, if you ever get to meet any of my kids, you'd know. I told my children from the time they were little bitty, you treat everyone the same.
Mm-hmm.
You treat everyone with love and respect right up until the point in time that they give you a reason not to.
Not to. Exactly.
And when that happens, you turn and you walk away from them. Don't waste your energy trying to tear them down or change them into something that they don't want to be. Walk away.
It's good advice.
Sometimes you got to step outside the box and look back at yourself also. Just realize how you're judging or viewing or...
Absolutely, because like I said, we're all guilty of it.
You also, in the same breath, somebody else is doing the same thing to you, so, you know.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things, and I guess the thing that just really cranked my handle, so to speak, when we start talking about racism, is growing up in the area I did, okay, it ain't no different than the way folks look at you if they think you're just poor white trash.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be a nigger, a Mexican, poor white trash, and they don't freaking care. You're just as big a scumbag to them. It's not about skin color. It's about socioeconomic status.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
They believe that their money makes them better than you. Period.
That's what we're facing now. We have a world global elite who thinks they are better than the rest of us. We are all dumber than them, and that they should be telling us how to live according to what they view, the way we should live.
You know, they're talking right now. We're facing, according to the Weather Channel, what could be one of the most an epic historic event
storms
weather-wise. Here in Georgia, I mean, they're talking over an inch of ice and 3 to 12 inches of snow. Okay, I get that. But guess what? People all over the world deal with weather, okay? But they're talking about this big, epic, biblical event.
Well, we call that 3 loaves and 4 gallons.
What do we call it?
But I mean, you know, it's not like the folks that are going to be the least worried and put off by it are the folks that are the least in everybody's view. They're not the ones driving around in brand new cars and, you know, nice new houses. They got a wood stove in their house. They got a cord of firewood ready to go. They got their stuff together.
And
the rest of these fools are going to be
running around
to
Walmart trying to pack.
And do you know, on my way home this evening, they said President Obama has already preempted and declared the state of Georgia a state of emergency, and FEMA is handling distribution of assistance. And if you find yourself without heat or electricity, just call. They'll come pick you up and take you somewhere safe. You think I'm kidding?
Just like they did the people.
Well, I believe it.
And these freaking idiots will call, just like the woman when it snowed and she was stuck in her damn car for 24 hours and she was just absolutely beside herself because no one had bothered to even bring her a sandwich or a bottle of water. Stuck on the interstate. Now, imagine her anger at the government because they could have sent the National Guard out with peanut butter and jelly frickin' sandwiches. Are you kidding me?
And a bottle of water. Yep.
Yeah, and a bottle of water because your dumb ass didn't bother to prepare for anything because you're just like a damn chick in the nest waiting for mother government to come drop you another damn worm.
Well, that's the biggest mistake right there. See, she assumed that since they announced that they're going to do it, they're going to do it.
Oh, it's not even assumed. They expect.
Oh, I mean, you know, that's just
now,
it.
Them's the folks I got a problem with.
And all these other folks, they're not thinking ahead in the winter months. And so now you got them all, when they say that snow's going to hit, they're all out emptying Walmart and all these other places and just packing it. Well,
holy
they should have done that, you know, two or three days ago.
When I came home tonight, the Walmart I drive right by, it was slammed. And right down the road from my house, there's a guy that sells firewood. I mean, he's got a freaking mountain of wood. I am not even kidding. He's probably got 3 acres there, and 2 3/4 of it's covered with this gigantic pile of firewood. There were cars and pickup trucks lined up down the street for half a mile waiting to get into his little bitty lot to buy firewood because they're just all a tremble that their power might go out and they'll, by God, freeze to death. Well, you know, I didn't buy any firewood, and I'm not damn worried about it.
Hey, I got 2 dogs, a cat, and a bunch of blankets and coveralls. Let it go.
I got a wife. She'll keep me plenty warm.
There you go.
Careful there.
I got military sleeping bags and stuff, good to 70 below. I worry about
people don't plan, and it just amazes me. It does. It amazes me.
Well, and the thing is, you're right with the planning, but at the same time, when something does happen, they lack the capacity to make a reasonable freaking decision. They're like frozen, like a deer in the headlights. Oh, God, I flipped the switch and the electricity don't come on. What do I do now? Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. I mean, they just have no ability to think for themselves at all.
I know. It's like my little community I live in. Look, I have to go to Mr. Payne's house if we have a tornado because he has the basement. He said, come over. If our electric was to go out and we was cold, Bobby, my neighbor across the street, says, come over. We have a natural gas heater. So, you know, you got to plan for things. It's good to be in good areas. Surround yourself with good people. I have contingency plans, just like Bill says. He's contingency plan man, he said.
Well, I mean, hell, I remember when I was a kid back in the mid to late 70s, and I don't know what the weather pattern was they called it, but I can tell you that we had freaking blizzard after blizzard after blizzard in central Illinois. To the point that I can remember working with my granddad out in the driveway all day long to clear his driveway where we could get to the road. Why the hell we wanted to get to the road was beyond me because there was 7 foot of snow in the road. But, you know, it was what you did. You got in the tractors and you moved snow. And we went to bed that night. And when we got up the next morning, the driveway was drifted shut 12 feet high. And
yep,
I can remember
riding
on the bus. I can remember riding on the damn school bus. When you got on the bus, you couldn't see nothing but snow. The snow drifts were so high that you couldn't see out the windows, just a big wall of snow.
Yep.
We were all at my grandparents' house because they had a wood-burning stove, and so the whole family stayed there because that's how we stayed warm. Because everybody's electricity was out. Nobody had natural gas or anything like that. you, by God, we heated the house and we cooked on that wood stove, you know.
Right.
For 2 weeks, it was like that.
That's why I'm glad that my childhood consisted of the things that I learned. Learned to hunt for myself. I learned to plant things. I learned to be good to your neighbors because your neighbors can help you out in times of need, you know.
And that's what neighbors are for.
Yeah, I try to be a good person. I try to help people just the same, you know, and that's why my neighbors tell me I can't come over in a time of need because I guess I'm trustworthy.
That's that golden rule kind of thing.
Well, if I
do unto others.
You know,
exactly. Do unto others.
I don't like them a bit, but I love them. You know, I'm not mean to them or nothing, but I don't go out of my way to you know, make conversation.
Right. Well, I mean, look, we can disagree with folks and still be civil and decent to them and treat them like their family, even if they're idiots and voted for Obama.
I mean, you got family that's going to have problems. You're not all going to be sane.
The younger generation has lost respect.
Lost that respect.
They have no respect.
And that started going.
And I tell you why, because they've lost the power of consequences for their actions.
Well, and they don't do anything. We were just talking about that at my dinner table this evening. These kids, when I grew up, man, I mean, you walked bean fields, you detasseled corn. You, by God, if you wanted something, you worked for it.
Yeah.
My mother, you know, mom and dad, they'd buy you tough skin jeans. I mean, the worst damn clothes. Everybody'd make fun of you, you know, if you showed up in school as poor folks' clothes. And by God, if you wanted Levi Strauss or Wranglers or something like that, well, get your ass out there and get a job, and you can buy all the clothes you want.
Yeah. Still,
you want a new bicycle? Well, you know what? By God, get you a job and go buy you one. There's not enough money for that. We got more important things to spend money on.
Right, taking care of those. I wanted a pair of Adidas. I was 16. My mom and dad were like, if you want Adidas, you buy them. So I went to buy a pair of shoes. Adidas were like $40 at the time. They're about $140 now. But it was like $40 at the time. And since it was my money, I ended up buying a pair of $15 Pro Kids instead of the Adidas.
Yeah,
funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
You learn quick, don't you?
Hey, I did. That pair of Adidas, that pair of Pro Kids lasted me for 7 years.
Would last a lot longer than Adidas.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. To this day, Bill, it pisses me off to pay $15 for a damn haircut, and I damn sure won't pay more than $20 for a pair of shoes. Now, you can say I'm a cheap SOB, but, you know, it's priorities.
Well, I agree, Ron. I went out and bought me hair clippers. Wife cuts my hair.
Well, I've seen your hair, Bill. You ain't got much to work with anyway.
Brother, say that. Every time I get in a hospital and they put them sticky things all over me, it hurts like a bastard when they're taking them off. That's what's up here. I have a solar panel, Ron. That's what it is on top of my head. But other than
I was going to say,
I'm
that was my father-in-law used to say something about that solar panel for a sex machine or some such nonsense. He had a coffee cup and said, God is good and God is fair. To some he gave brains, to others hair.
Good. I like that one.
But, you know, everything that we're talking about here, it's just values, principles. That
family values that people didn't teach.
And the thing is, when you get these folks in the city, and I see them every day, my God, you know, I have a mother come into my store in a minivan sporting four little kids, and her tires are as bald as her baby's behind. And she's got a coupon for an $18 damn oil change, and she can't be bothered to hear about how bad her tires are. And she's toting these four youngins around, and I'm thinking, you know, I get it. I understand, and I'm not here to club somebody over the head, but damn, lady, you got to get some priorities. You know, and you're sporting a $500 pair of sunglasses and all this other nonsense in your car when you could have spent money on putting frickin' tires on it so you were safe hauling your kids around. What the hell are you thinking? But they'll go out, you know, spend $200-$300, go out for dinner. But by God, they'd be damned if they're going to buy a tire. And they might be driving a $60,000 car. And I always... We talk about it. I say, you know, they're driving their house payment.
But they should have stayed home and say not had a $60 food bill or something. They could have ate for $15 if somebody would have cooked a meal.
I brought this up with Bill the other day. I was in the town next to us, and I was driving by, and they do a big food bank there on Wednesdays. And I got to looking at people that was lined up.
And the cars they was driving.
Just high-end dollar cars, and I'm thinking, my God.
You got $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 cars parked out there lined up for free food, and we see where those priorities are at. See, people, there's no consequences in this country anymore. There isn't a consequence to being, a deadbeat or being poor when there's all these handout programs.
Well, in these handout problems, what is suffering is the people that really needs this assistance can't get it for all the other people that's going for the handouts so they can have something nicer or whatever. They're taking
cutting
things
corners
when they don't need it. Yeah.
And I can tell you there are folks that are in need, and if you want to look at, like, the folks that are homeless. Now, I'm not going to make excuses for everybody. There's folks that want to be homeless. And I'm good with that, too. I got no problem with that. But some of these folks that are homeless, you know, they go to try and get assistance. Well, if you don't have a damn address, you're SOL. I watched a video years ago, the cops down in Florida, and these poor damn people, all they had left, they were carrying with them. They might have had a four-man tent and a backpack with a little bit of stuff in it, and that's all their possessions in the world, and they were still trying. And here come the cops and say, you can't stay here. You got to move to this other spot. So they move to this other spot. Then the cops show up, and they raid them. And you know these bastards get out of their squad cars and their SUVs, and they get out with box cutters and start shredding their tents. Well, what kind of asshole do you have to be to do something like that to somebody? That's the only shelter they have left in their entire life, and they're going to come and do some shit like that? I'm sorry, that pisses me off to no end.
I agree with you, Ron. I call that Obama-itis.
But they were doing that when Bush was in office. I mean, that's a cop that needs a good old-fashioned ass-whooping.
Yep.
They ran somebody up down here that day, had tent set up at the hotels, I read in the paper. They ran him off, and they ain't nowhere for him to go around here. On the river. They'll put him right on the river. They tell them they got to move again.
Well, see, all them folks that driving them $60,000 cars that can't afford tires, they don't want to see them homeless folks. They want to pretend they don't exist.
Right. We have a little incident town. We have maybe four people that panhandle there in Seymour, right? A couple of them I can understand their situation. A couple of them I see do it that don't need to be doing it. But we made this big stink about coming up with this panhandling law to keep people from being bugged by that. And I don't understand that they spend all that lobbying and all that money trying to pass that shit versus, hey, let's eliminate the problem at the source. Let's try to help them. Let's get them an address maybe, or see if a churches can't pitch in, get them a room and get them a job somewhere, get some kind of program, and that'll eliminate them altogether.
We had a pastor here in our area that went to jail down in Atlanta for feeding the homeless folks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they passed an ordinance in the city of Atlanta that it is illegal for you to feed the homeless folks. You can't hand them a sandwich or you know, a beverage or anything.
And what's their reasoning?
Because that's the government's job. Don't feed the frickin' animals.
Yeah,
that's what the damn reasoning is.
Well, if
that
was
a forbidden
country, we'd have to raise them and stop them. Feed them animals.
They would have to put me in jail because I couldn't sit there and eat a Big Mac in front of all them homeless. I'd have to go get them some, too.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, see, what it is they want everyone to realize that, you know, if you're destitute, the government is who you need to depend on, not the church, not charitable neighbors, good folks. No, sir. You need to go to the government, and they'll get you all the assistance you need.
That's because you should only be loyal to the government, the elite.
That's because the government is God, sir. That's exactly where it's at.
They think.
They
I can't wait till my God comes back and smites them.
It was what, 1965 to 1969, Steve Hardy did that address that if he was evil and the devil, this is how
right.
he would do it.
If I were the time. Devil, you bet.
Yep. Yep. If you listen to that, it's
oh,
so
yeah.
true. Every bit of that's true.
Well, everything you know, going on. They were talking about in other cities, Ron, doing the same thing, trying to make it illegal to feed people who need it. And we don't have to go far back in time to see that happened in Germany. They weren't allowed to feed anybody, especially Jews. So
we had
let's not forget all that nonsense, too. Disgusting.
Well, and don't forget, with the Nazis, it wasn't just Jews.
Well, I know.
I mean, if you were black in Germany, it was not a good time for you to be hanging around, I can tell you that.
Or
right
if
now.
if you were homosexual but you were not a close friend of Hitler... So that you could give him the other names? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because you had a pink triangle on your shirt sleeve. That's what happened to you.
Yeah,
so,
and all,
yeah. Oh,
all
he,
the folks that were mentally disabled and all the...
Oh,
very,
my God. They were the first ones. And you know who else did those gas vans? Stalin. At the same time. Practically the same time in history. Both of them were doing it.
Our ancestors were ran out of Germany, mine, Chad, and Lonnie's. Our ancestors were ran out of Germany before all that happened, and it was the Catholic Church that ran them out.
Well, that's because y'all was damn redheaded, though. That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well, that might be true.
So
you can't have
so
no redheaded Catholics.
We're probably going to have more people that don't have homes because I guess Keith Ellison doesn't understand that when you work less hours, you don't have anything to cook for your dinner when you have all that extra time. What a schmuck. I mean,
well,
you hear,
I read that.
You know, we've talked about this stuff before.
Available homes.
And it's kind of like some of the stuff, you know, Patrick was talking about with the law and the Social Security number and all this crap that the lawyers have done. Uh-huh. But, you know the determination I came to and what my thought is on the whole thing? Screw them. You can make up all the nonsensical bullshit rules and hoops you want me to jump through. You can do all that crap. I'm not jumping through your damn hoops. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if you don't like it, you know, hey, come kill me for it if that's what you want. But, otherwise, screw you. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not jumping through your hoops. I'm not playing your stupid games.
Exactly. I agree with you. I mean, if that's how we got to do this, or we don't deserve to be free, Ron.
That's the only way it works, is tell them, you know what? I got
it
right here, buddy. Right here. Can you hear it? I'll turn it up for you if you can't.
I use that a lot, Ron.
I feel... Me personally, living in this country right now, I feel detached from my country because, honestly, not only do I feel, I really don't have a say-so in anything that goes on with our politicians, you know? Nobody's
you don't.
Out in my neighborhood.
It's an illusion. It's an
That's
illusion.
That's just it. It is an illusion. I have played their dumbass game at the local level. And you've got the good old boys network, and it's just like a guy I heard the other day. He said they got the A team and the B team. And when you get tired of the A team, they'll send in the B team. And then once you've had a fill of the B team, they'll send the A team back in. So it's first string and second string. But the agenda never changes. And I'm here to tell you, if you paid attention to the 2012 presidential election,
yep.
And we the folks that were involved with Ron Paul and his campaign in 2008 and again in 2012, we were screaming bloody murder in 2012. And everybody said, you know, they're just giving him the brush off. Well, by God, when it came time for the Republican National Convention and Romney and his goons just pretty much the establishment, the party,
mm-hmm.
ran over
yep.
all of the Newt Gingrich supporters and the Rick Santorum supporters and the
sure.
Huckabee supporters, anybody other than Romney, they just eliminated them. And
yes, they did.
I sat back and I thought, you know what, you bastards, now you get a taste of your own frickin' medicine. It doesn't feel good when it happens to you, does it?
Yeah.
See, they still thought they were on the team. Yeah, you're not
right.
part of the frickin' team. Shut up and go over there. We don't want no
yeah,
party.
And, you know, that's the illusion we were talking about when you sent me that thing and the last guy with Harlan. He has it right, man. They want you to believe that you have a choice. That's what that Dog and Pony show is about in the District of Criminals. The both houses, the administration, all this nonsense. This is to give you the illusion that you actually have a choice, and you don't. We're not in the club. You're not in it.
And what you need to look up, if you want to look at your local politics and understand,
right.
find out what a superdelegate is.
Okay.
A superdelegate is somebody that is going to be a delegate always and forever within your party, whether it's Democrat or Republican. And they're always going to vote party line. And guess what? The superdelegates account for 50% of the delegate vote.
Jeez. Yeah, I just I got to talk to ours because we just got one in our Vista Tea Party Patriots. I got to find out what's going on with his head. So
you get it. You get a superdelegate, and your state is going to vote to cast its electoral votes
yep.
for one person or another. Running for president, but before you get there, you do this primary thing, right?
Right.
And
sure.
so you go down and you're going to elect the guy that your state wants to vote for, and your superdelegates get 50% say in who that person is. Now, if there's three people running, you see how that whittles down pretty fast.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you got Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, and Ron Paul, and the superdelegates all vote for Mitt Romney because that's what the party wants, it don't make a shit what everybody else does.
Right.
Because some of them are going to vote for one guy and some of them are going to vote for the other. And guess who has the majority at that point?
Yeah. It's just so rigged and it's so unfair. I know. Well, I'm on my way to this meeting because I don't know exactly what it's about, but I was told to try to come here and figure it out. It's they're talking a little bit about, well, what I call Agenda 21, but they don't call it that. It's the transportation element of their stupid general plan in Oceanside, and I want to see if I'm allowed to speak because I'm loaded for bear today.
And that's
what I did. Huh?
That sounds to me like your area is one of those that are pushing this idea that limit our traveling abilities.
Oh yeah. Oh yes, absolutely. I printed it off Sandag's own website, and it's evil. I'm going to cover it tomorrow on my show. You guys get to hear all of it, so it's going to be an interesting evening. Looks like there's a lot of people here. So
main issues I've used in talking to biker groups is the issue about ownership of private vehicles, because
mm-hmm.
if you somebody off when you try to tell a guy he can no longer ride his Harley, you're going to piss some people off. And, Ron,
well,
I'm sure tested with me there that that's an army they don't want to face.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of them. And, look, we've got, just in San Diego County alone, we have 3 million people. That's from Pendleton all the way down to Chula Vista, from the coast to Fallbrook, which is a pretty good-sized area. And they're trying to, and it's on their own website, they're trying to eliminate the amount of cars each home has depending on their all this stuff, their income, everything else is crazy. So, and I'll get into it tomorrow and give you the breakdown of it. And people have no idea. What they don't know is that these people that are supposedly their circular element, they call it planners, and these general planners and the city managers, et cetera, that are tearing up the streets and doing, making all these dang decisions for you, they have an evil plan for 2030 and 2050, and nobody knows about it. Well, I got it in print right here in my car seat, and I'm about to take it in and expose these people for what's going on. So wish me luck.
Well, good luck.
Take a shotgun with you.
I left my toys at home on purpose because I don't know whether I'd shoot them or eat my own damn gun just listening to their BS. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. I left it at home on my wit and my proof on the paper. So far, you guys are doing a great job. Enjoy. I'll try to catch the rest in archive.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Okay, guys. Be blessed. Bye.
You know, here, the smaller county, and I've come to the conclusion that one of the best things I can do is if I can get enough people from the different parts of the county to take over the county commissioner positions, and from there start investigations showing the corruption from the rest of the county governments.
Boy. That would that'd be a project there.
Well, we've already got two that we're looking to push out there. Right. It's going to take a lot of groundwork, but I think we can do this.
Yeah.
But that's just one small county in the middle of Indiana. This is something that needs to be done nationwide. We have people who have gotten positions for nothing but self-serving reasons. They're in there to pad their own pockets and to boast their own family's name. And I know we've all witnessed the scenarios where it's like the same family just keeps getting this or that or this or that. They use insider investing and trading. That's
wrong.
That needs to be outlawed totally from local levels all the way to the top, especially in D.C., at our Congress, our Senate, and at the White House. I call him the president's out here pushing his global warming agenda. He is doing nothing but pushing his self-invested agenda to make money off of a carbon exchange.
We've been driven a lie after lie after lie after lie. We're in a cycle, people. We all know that. We can only get the government and them to understand that and quit wanting to try to fill their pockets full of money.
Oh, see, they're
lies.
The thing is, they know it too. No matter how many times they tell the lie, they still know it's a lie. I sent an article to Linda. It was about volcanoes. One volcano been going off for a while, plume coming out of the top of it. But this one volcano by itself, if you figure out the carbon emission, CO2 emissions from it, has wiped out the last 7.5-8 years of whatever they've been doing globally to carbon, to try to reduce carbon. That's just one volcano. Well, the scientist says we have many volcanoes going off at the same time. We have underground fissures under the ocean that open up, and you'll see top of water bubbles and stuff. It's those gases being released and stuff. What a lot of these global warming experts won't ever going to tell you this. But imagine a scenario where man had never touched oil or natural gas or dug for coal. And what you would have, you would probably have an environment that you couldn't survive in.
Yes.
You know about the La Brea tire pits out in California. Imagine those tar pits everywhere. Imagine oil seeping through the rock and stuff and into the rivers. And stuff. Imagine the natural gas, just you never know where it was going to come out of the ground at, and therefore you never know where an explosion is going to be. The whole ideology was flawed, the global warming ideology. But using Alinsky ideology, you keep pushing the lie until it's accepted as truth. And that's where we're at with the global warming. But that's where we're at on so many other things. We have a government, both sides of the establishment of the government, both sides that are self-serving, padding their own pockets and their own wealth, looking after their own family, friends, and whatever, and handing out favors to those who help keep them in office.
As they're lying to us.
I don't.
Setting is a...
Yeah. I don't see voting as being a solution because, hell, we don't know that there is nothing for them to rig elections.
Some people might think they don't rig elections, but I guarantee you they do.
Well, we live in a state where three Democrats were put in jail for falsifying signatures in 2008. Without those falsified signatures, Obama and Hillary Clinton, neither one made the ballot in Indiana.
I just like how you have to show ID to rent something or to buy a pack of cigarettes or get some alcohol, but you don't have to show ID to do something as sacred as voting, supposedly. I don't get that at all.
So, there's only one excuse for that whole thing about voter ID being discriminatory. It's discriminatory against the Democratic populist cheating.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell. Look at Acorn after they were exposed, which is, by the way, changed their name and now getting government money again.
They're supposed to be people we put in.
They
power,
are
not people they manipulate to be put in power.
Matter of fact, thinking of Acorn, they are now part of the health care. What are they? Supposed to help you work through the healthcare?
Navigators.
Navigators. Yeah, that group is now part of the Navigators. We're seeing just, it's a constant little pecking. Pecking at our rights. Pecking at our individual liberties. Pecking at our freedoms. Pecking at our wallets. Pecking at... taking control over all property, pecking and taking control over all water, pecking and taking control over all food, pecking and pecking and pecking, because they want total control. They want to feel like they are God, that they are above. The elite want to feel like they are that far above the rest of us. They were so smart, look what they've done to us.
Well, it's all in that cash flow, you know. It's just like out west, people's needing water, but yet the big companies are still fracking, using water pumping down in the ground, you know.
Oh, they may, but...
they ain't sanctioning them none, you know. It's just money, you get what you need with money.
Hey, California let Nancy Pelosi screw up their water.
Close out, that woman.
You shouldn't be able to manipulate any waterway.
Well, and the fact is, here we have an abundance of water.
Plenty of water. Illinois.
We put our water into the ground. That's our business.
Nobody's hurting for water, though. Now here.
There are areas around those that could be getting water, too. It's their politicians who would rather save a fish than humans.
Well, and I've got something I can tell you. I can give a little insight on fracking.
Okay.
You know, I used to work on a drill rig, and we did commercial and residential water wells out in Colorado. And if you're in hard rock formations, granite and you know, any other kind of hard rock, not what they call alluvial formations, gravel, sand, and that kind of thing, when you're talking about natural gas supplies, which is where and oil, which is where they're used in fracking, okay? Most of your water wells, now, where I was at in Colorado, we had our well was in oil shale, one of the places we lived. The depth of our water well was 600 feet. And the water was not fit for human consumption already because it had too much oil in it. It would leave a black ring in the toilet bowl overnight. You could see the oil sheen, the rainbow on the water, And so, you know, we used it to take a shower with and do laundry with, but we had bottled water to cook with, you know, the big 5-gallon bottle. Yeah. When they're doing fracking for oil and natural gas, they're not fracking at a level where your water table is, where everybody gets their drinking water, 500, 600 feet, 800 feet. They're well past 1,100 feet in depth, and that's a totally different strata formation than where people are getting their water from. It's just different. There are places where the water table does carry natural gas. There are places like the place we were at where the water table that's available does carry oil. But all the fracking in the world wouldn't have made a piss bit of difference to the water we were using because it was already crap. I think there's a lot of misinformation. And the way the fracking works, you know, you drill a hole and you run a pipe down that hole, and on the end of that pipe is a device that you start. It's got a brass drift pin about 2 inches in diameter, and you start pumping water in, and it inflates this thing, and it's made out of like a steel belted radial tire, and it inflates out against the wall of the well to seal it off. So everything above it is sealed off, and when you reach enough pressure, it shears that pin, and you start dumping water down that hole. And you pump it in at tremendous volume and tremendous pressure to open up the cracks and the fractures in the rock so that you can let more flow come through. And you'll usually increase the flow or the output of a well from, say, a gallon a minute to 2, 2.5 gallons a minute. That's really what they're trying to do. And they'll pump in sand as a lifting agent to help keep those fractures open. But you're not contaminating someone's freaking water supply. It just doesn't work that way.
That wasn't what I was getting at. I was getting at everybody's needing water. Them companies are getting their water from somewhere. How come?
Oh, well, sure.
How come they can't get the water too?
Well, you know, like the company that I worked for in Colorado, we had our own well on the yard where our business was at, and we had a 20,000-gallon tank that was overhead that we would pump in because we're filling 3,000 and 5,000-gallon trucks through a 6-inch hose, and you can fill one of those trucks in a matter of 2 minutes, you know, just gravity feed. Because when you're fracking, and you're right, they do use a lot of water, no mistake about it. You know, it just depends on how big the formation is, but typically they're trying to reach 10,000 PSI when they're fracking. So, I mean, you've got huge, huge pumps that go from a 20-inch diameter piston all the way down to a 4-inch. So you get volume and pressure. And you might run 25, 30,000 gallons of water. But, you know, California, their problem, that whole deal out in California, if they weren't diverting water from Colorado and Wyoming, they wouldn't have any water in California. California's a flipping desert. So all the water that was diverted into California was purely a commercial enterprise from the get-go. You know, if you watch TV, you see these movies and you watch these guys running through the dry canal beds there in L.A. or outside of Los Angeles, you know, the chase scenes and stuff. Those are waterways, and those are used to bring water to arable lands, the desert out in California. And that's all water that's diverted from the Colorado River. You know, the Colorado River used to flow to the ocean. It dries up to a little trickle out in the middle of Mexico in the Sonoran Desert. It no longer reaches the ocean.
You're making me glad to be in southern Indiana, Ron. Within 4 miles, there's probably 20 ponds and lakes.
Yeah. When, you know, where I was at in Illinois, there's this thing called the Mahomet Aquifer, which is basically an underground river that's at a depth that varies from, you know, 50 feet to 350, 400 feet. And it is a tremendous amount of water. But a lot of people are tapping into it and pulling water out of it. And when it gets really dry, when we have droughts, the water table drops. So, I mean, you know, this stuff is not like forever. There are limits to a lot of our resources, and we need to be wise about it. You look at the farms, most of the farms that are running in California are chemical farms. They're farming with petrochemicals, and the same in Illinois and Indiana. You know, the farmers are all using all these chemicals. They're depleting the soil. And so the nutrient value of the food, the crops that they're growing, is diminished. And so they're having to put more and more crap onto the soil. Literally, they're not putting crap, and that's one of their problems. They need to be using manure, but anyway.
They use crap around here.
Yeah. Some still do. And
those drive out fields, and you can smell manure big time where they just,
yep.
They have one of the old manure spreaders, you know what I'm saying? What, old time ones that you pull behind the tractor, it has a little slinger.
Oh, yeah, no, I know exactly what your old wooden box with the slinger on the back.
That's what they're still using around southern Indiana, a lot of places. But there are a lot of places like you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're going out here and they're using genetically altered seeds and genetically enhanced products, trying to grow more and faster. And, you know, I try to avoid those kinds of places. That's up north, well, in south. But now,
they're putting down lime and nitrogen, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. You know, we used to burn the fields off in the spring. You'd burn them off, and that put nitrogen back in the soil in a natural way, not the crap they're doing now.
You'll see farmers here burning off their fields.
Yep.
And they've got cows, so they've got manure out the rear. They pile up, and they start spreading it. And
they even cut it down. They use their little corn stalks for, they call it salt.
Silage. Now, Bill, I'm glad you clarified that they had manure coming out the rear, unlike D.C., where it's coming out of their mouths.
Oh, man, brother.
That's true. That's their top cow. Now, they just passed the farm bill, and if you haven't read it, you ought to check into it, because then it's a lot more regulations and this and that. And eventually, they're going to do a way where you can't grow a garden on your own.
Well, you know, there's another thing we were talking about at the dinner table tonight. And I don't think that most people, if they're not farmers or they haven't grown up on a farm, they don't really understand what a lot of these, you know, you hear about farm subsidies, right? And my grandfather, I can remember my granddad telling me back in the late 70s, early 80s, shaking his head saying, all these idiots taking that easy money. Well, when they came to him and told him, you need to have some set-aside acres, and he said, like hell I do. I know, you know, I know what it takes to farm my ground and what I get back out of it, and I know what I need to cover my expenses and feed my family. And they said, well, no, you need to have 100 acres set aside and just don't grow nothing on it, or you can grow a non-cash crop that you just leave it, you know, clover, or some of the guys used to do sorghum, and then they'd just plow it under. And he said, well, I don't want your money. I don't want your subsidy. And that's fine. You can refuse, and you can plant all your arable land just like you always do, and we're going to tax you at a different rate. So that, in other words, we're going to make sure that it costs you more than you get in return if you don't play the game the way we want you to play it.
Exactly.
So it's not all just about farmers getting kickbacks and money. A lot of times they don't want it. They'd rather have not to fool with it. But they're given little choice in many instances.
And that's true. And it's more and more regulations, and it's about taking control over the farms. Here, if you read our county comprehensive plan, it talks about taking up the best farmland and putting a co-op in charge of it. Now, that's grabbing other people's property, taking it away from them, and giving it to an elitist group that you feel.
Oh, let me tell you, I know exactly what it is. And, you know, when my grandfather died, well, before he died, the county came out and they put up a big plaque when I say a plaque, it was on 2 4-by-4 posts, and it was a pretty, I mean, it wasn't a billboard, but it was not, you know, not a whole lot smaller, about half a billboard, out in the front of the driveway, that the farm had been in the family for 115 years. So they come out and they put up this thing out by the driveway, this centennial farm, one of the few left. And before my grandfather died, he had to hire a farm manager. And I'm here to tell you, he was not real happy about that. And it wasn't because he couldn't do the job. It was because of all the bullshit regulations that they were putting on him. He couldn't keep up with it and tend the farm. So he had to hire somebody, one of their goobers from the university, to be his farm manager. You know, that man cut his teeth farming with horses and mules before he ever had a tractor. And now he's got to hire some college-educated idiot to come out there as a farm manager. Oh, he was pissed.
And he has every right to be. You know, it's like you said, there were many that it's been passed family to family, generation after generation, and the skills that went with it was passed along, too. You're talking about they want you to set aside land. Here we try to rotate our crops, grow a different thing each year. But when they're trying to get control over everything, and property rights is one thing they want control over, they want control over food production. They want just total control.
Yep.
Not one of them to come out here and run that farm themselves.
No, but they could talk a good game about it.
That's it.
You know, I looking at doing some of my family tree and looking back on my grandfather's side, and I took one of his ancestors back to the Revolutionary War. And I learned that as partial payment for services, a lot of those Revolutionary War soldiers were given 600 acres of land in Ohio on the other side of the Appalachian Mountains. And, you know, all of my grandfather's people come from Brown County, Ohio. And they migrated into Illinois in the early to mid-1800s, 1826 and 1845, respectively. You know, there is no more of that. Them people are all gone, and there's so few family farms left. It's all corporate farms.
Yeah.
My grandfather, when my grandfather died, he left half of the farm to my uncle, who was my namesake, my Uncle Ron. And the other half he divided equally amongst his three girls and his son, my Uncle Ron. And the reason he did it that way is because my Uncle Ron farmed his whole life. So he got half, and then the other half was divided equally between the four kids. And it wasn't too long after my grandfather died, my Uncle Ron died of a massive heart attack out in the field. And, you know, his wife told my mother and my mother's sisters, well, either you're going to buy me out or we're going to sell the place. And they didn't have the money to buy, you know, the share that she had of 386 acres of farmland and 40 acres with a house on it. So they sold everything, and the guy that owns it now, the only building that is left standing is the house that my great-grandfather and my grandfather built. They hand-dug the foundation, the basement. And Mom said they grow corn right up to the edge of the house. The hired man stays in the house, and there's not even a driveway or nowhere for him to park. He's got to park out by the road.
Coming in through the road.
And he's got to walk in through the beans or the corn, whichever happens to be on that parcel, because they won't leave an inch unfarmed. I'm surprised they left the damn house.
Yeah.
My
on my mama's side, they have a farm still. It's just shy of 400 acres. But just like 2 miles down the road was a bunch of farms along Tradewaters down by Sturgis, Kentucky, and all that. And Kimball, the piano company, come in years ago, and they bought up everybody's land down through there. And they ended up with like 8,000 acres, which recently they said when they got their wood out of it, they sold it to Alcoa. They didn't put it back on the market for anybody locally to buy. Well, Alcoa Aluminum Company come in and bought that $8,000 acres. Now they do agricultural farming and meat farming. They do livestock. I guarantee it. They're making a killing off of it.
I guarantee it's all some kind of being altered in some way.
Well, and that you know, cattle farming or ranching on that scale is terrible for the property. I mean, just terrible.
Yeah.
And it's one thing if you're a rancher in Colorado or Montana and you got 100,000 acres, you know. It's another thing to just stack them one on top of the other on 8,000 acres. And 8,000 acres, mind you, is a hell of a lot of property. You know, 380 acres is a quarter section. A section is 1 mile by 1 mile by 1 mile by 1 mile. So 640 acres, so it'd be 1,280 acres is a square mile.
Yeah, exactly.
So 8,000 acres, that's a hell of a lot of land.
Yeah, it is.
That's just shy of seven square miles.
But still, like you said, you couldn't overrun that with cattle and stuff and whatever else.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to have, you know, outbuildings and support structure. And
have a lot of deer.
But I've seen others, like chicken places that are out in the middle of nowhere, but huge chicken operations going, and they have to haul the ammonia out, the chicken crap out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that stuff. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
When I was 16 years old, I worked for a place out in Colorado, and I ran a feed truck delivering feed to the different chicken places around, and the guy that owned the feed mill, he had his own egg operation, you know, and they had these big chicken houses. And, man, that is the worst damn job in the world, is having to go in. Even though you're using mechanized equipment and you're going in there with a scraper, and that's the worst damn job in the world, cleaning out them old chicken houses. And they stuck me out. They had a conveyor where the crap would come out of the chicken house on a conveyor belt, and then it made a turn. And where it made a turn, there was a gap in the belt. And so you had to stand there and shovel that shit from one belt to the other, and that was not a fun job, brother. I'm here to tell you.
Oh, hell no.
I worked at the chicken houses out here, and they just drive right in the bottom of them with bobcats, scoop up big blow, go out, dump in a truck, come right back in.
Yeah, I think about the second largest chicken operation in the country is here in southern Indiana at Rose Acres, and it takes up many, many different places around several counties.
Oh, yeah.
They supply a lot of jobs, but to me it would be one of the worst places to work.
Well, as a country, we consume a hell of a lot of chicken, let me tell you.
Boy, I'm telling you, we do.
Ours is eggs. We're the egg producers.
When I was lobbying up at the Capitol, I had to kind of bone up on chicken consumption, and I want to say it's something ridiculous, like 600,000 pounds of damn chicken a month that we eat in this country. It's an ungodly amount.
Well, look at also all the other products that has chicken byproducts in it, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Bologna, pepperoni.
We're talking about American consumption of chicken. But chicken is a globally consumed item.
Oh,
it is. And, you know, I don't know if it got in that farm bill.
yard bird.
But you know, some of these companies now, and you got to watch where your food's at. You think about this for a minute. The amount of chicken that we consume in this country, and there are big chicken outfits like Tyson Foods and a couple others that are taking their chickens, putting them on a boat, sending them over to China, and they're processed in China and then shipped back to the U.S.
Well, that's stupid.
It saves them money.
Yeah, it does.
Now, you think about that.
You don't have all the viral wackos there.
I mean, think about logistically a damn cargo ship full of frickin' chicken sending it over to get plucked and processed and then sent back, and you can still sell it for a profit, more profit than if you processed it here at home. Man, that's sad.
That is real sad, eh? But you could thank that to the higher-ups that, well, do what the hell they want to do.
That just goes beyond the scope of just chicken. Steel industry's gone in this country, iron industry, because it was cheaper to have it done in another country and then ship it back. We've seen that with a lot of things. The idea that the food product of chicken is being shipped over to China, then cleaned and skinned and whatever, then sent back up there, it's been cut up or whatever. You don't know what China's done to it.
Well, and how much of that, I mean, my God, just logistically trying to keep that shit from spoiling, shipping it over. But you think about this, because this is the thing nobody bothers to think about, okay? As devalued as the dollar is, and they, make no mistake, have devalued it 97-98% since it started in 1914 was the first issuance, the first series of Federal Reserve notes, but even though our dollar has been so devalued, the value of other currencies against the dollar is so much less that it's still cheaper to ship that crap overseas, have it processed, and ship it back. It's not all just about what wages are being paid to the guys that are doing the work over there. That is part of it, certainly. But it also has to do with the cost of exports and imports and the cost of labor, but it's the value of your currency. And you see, when you watch what's going on in the monetary system today economically, and you see places like Argentina and Brazil and Turkey and Japan, you know, in Argentina right now today, you could go down there, if you had a few thousand dollars, you could go down to Argentina and you could buy the Argentina peso at a 30% discount over what, you know, from the Joe Blow on the street. You could pay 30% more than the government will pay them for an exchange in dollars. So they want dollars.
Yeah.
And you could turn around and sell that back to the government and make money. People are doing it. They're making a 30% increase on their investment, buying this stuff on the black market. It's nuts.
It is.
It's absolutely crazy.
Me, I try hard to buy food locally grown. I store up a lot of food during the summer to get me through the winter. I just put in an order this week for some tame rabbits. And they'll be processed, and I'll buy them, you know, they'll be ready for me to fry. Cook, whatever. But too many people, you live in the cities and stuff, it's hard to, you're not going to get anything that was grown locally. And therein is an easy path to the things that they're doing with our food. You know, like Monsanto's banned in how many countries, yet we're still using it here.
Still pushing.
And now we're finding out that people's getting rubber bread on their sandwiches in the restaurants and stuff. It just kind of blew my mind. I mean, like, rubber bread, plastic butter. I mean...
Well, and you know, and you go back, you talk about plastic butter. You go back and read, go into the United States Code, okay, go into the law and look up the law on oleomargarine. Do you even know where it came from, where margarine got its origin? It was turkey producers trying to get a product that would fatten up their turkeys before they sent them off to market. The problem was it was killing the damn turkeys. You laugh. It was killing them dead as crap. So some wise guy said, well, hell, if we put a little yellow food coloring in it and add some salt, we can sell it as a butter substitute, and it's better for you because it ain't got all that fat in it.
But it'll kill a turkey.
Now, you know, I forget who it was, but somebody had made the comment that whatever it is you're thinking about eating, just take it and put it on the back porch. And if the bugs won't mess with it, you probably ought to leave it alone.
Exactly right.
Now, do you take a tub of margarine and set it out on the porch and see if the flies come mess with it?
The ants won't mess with it.
No, they won't touch it. They will not touch it. And if the insects won't eat it, they're a little smarter than we are, evidently.
The thing, well,
truthfully, they are.
They are.
They're not being, you know, they go up there, they're not being led to eat this, even though you know it's bad. I mean, one molecule from plastic, and you're like, hey, eat this.
Yeah. Now, I'm here to tell you, I've always been a firm believer in, you know, by God, butter is butter. It comes from a cow, and that's what I put on my toast and my biscuits, and you can keep that damn margarine crap.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's a big difference in the taste between real butter and margarine. I just got on the bill earlier. I said, Nick, give up all that frying oils you got in there and get you some olive oil. Start cooking in some olive oil.
I just ran out of olive oil, though. Can I tell you?
You did have the bottle. I remember you had the bottle, but you went to buy a gallon jug of it now.
My wife cracks me because she has that olive oil spray, what she uses in her cooking utensils, and I just grab all of the grease, put it in there, and start frying my egg up or whatever. Oh, she don't like it.
Well, I can't be doing that stuff now.
No, we got to stop.
But I'm going the hard route with it.
Well, now there's a dietary guideline in the Bible. And it tells you don't eat blood, don't eat fat, leave the skin fish alone. You know, nothing wrong with using a little fat for lubrication in your cooking, but you're not supposed to be eating the fat. That's bad for you. But you know, the stuff like butter, your body is designed to break that stuff down. It isn't designed to break down hydrogenated vegetable oil.
No.
It's definitely not. Okay. I sit here and I go through all these new medicines they just put me on. I start reading all the side effects and all of it. I'm like, holy crap.
I'm sicker now than I was.
But they said I got to cut down my cholesterol as high, all this and that. And I'm like, well, I haven't been eating enough hot sauce. And I need to put more garlic and stuff. And, you know, there are ways I can work that down from where I'm at.
Sure.
And I can get control. But there's a lot of times people don't get that chance to get control. It just comes hit you and it's too late. I was lucky to have Chad near and people to help me. I can tell you this, there's no hospital wants to keep me more than a day. I'm not a good customer.
Nothing wrong with that, brother.
I question everything. And I was in an argument with a nurse, and she's like, well, you don't understand. You don't have a background in medicine. And I said, no. My master's degree was in biophysics. And she just freaked out and looked at me. I said, yeah, I know a little bit what I'm talking about. But with our food, they are playing so many games.
you're putting pesticides in our food. How can that be good?
How can it be bad, Bill? Come on. They're just trying to help you out.
These cancers are getting bad, man. This really tore my family. It's got my stepfather. He had ended up with the rarest form of bone cancer there was, but there's no treatment except removing the infected bone. So he did that. He ended up losing his leg over it. I have a little cousin that at nine years old got cancer on her ribs, had to remove some of her ribs. She's been going through all the treatment up until now. I think she's cancer-free finally, but, you know, this shit's jumping up like mad everywhere.
I agree.
USDA and FDA and all of them are in cahoots with somebody big.
I guess I was...
That keeps us sick.
I guess I was lucky as a kid growing up because my mother used... I remember and people just thought she was crazy. And she'd tell you straight up, it's all the crap they're putting in the food. I'm telling you right now, it's all this junk they're putting in the food. She won't eat meat. She absolutely refuses to eat meat. She won't do it anymore.
You know what, Ron? Here's something maybe you might know about or something to investigate, or I'm sure people have. It's like, I wonder how many cases of cancer comes up in, like, the Amish communities.
None.
Kind of curious about that.
They don't get cancer.
I've never heard of. I've never known.
It's almost impossible.
And they raise their own meat. They do their own butter, their own milk. I do see them go to town on occasion and give them a gallon jug of ice cream and hightail it home quick as they can. But
you know, that's like China and the incidence of autism in China. It's unheard of.
Right.
It's so damn rare over there. There's maybe been 6 documented cases.
Well, you know, there's a reason for that.
Yes, there is.
Check to see if they were vaccinated.
Yeah, they weren't.
You probably wasn't, yeah.
Because
what this government's allowing pumping into us, they are allowing it. They are very aware of it, obviously.
Well, sure, but we're just as dumb as a damn...
Pharma... Big
Stone.
Pharma funds campaign.
Yeah. How does that make a fellow patriot feel? I feel like a number, you know?
You're an experiment.
Yeah. I'm a unit. I feel like a unit.
It's called human resources, sir.
That's it. We're who they experiment on.
Yeah. So I'm not, people ask me, well, why aren't you Democrat? Why aren't you, why are you Democrat? I said, well, I tell you, because they're my people, and they care about me, and they care about this country. That's why. Because we're interested, and we're concerned, and we're worried about our future generation. That's why I'm Tea Party, because I found a group of people that share my same views and my same morals, values, and ethics, and by gosh, they believe in God, and ain't scared to say, hey, we love Jesus. That's right.
Amen.
And brother. And Jesus ain't the religion, he's just their savior. You know?
The whole thing is they have to play the people against each other, and they'll use whatever methods they can that keeps us arguing amongst each other, because if we're arguing amongst each other,
we're divided
and we're not fighting them. If we ever join together, whoever is in office is in deep trouble.
You know, I believe that our country has become liberated like it has as far as being civilized due to the fact of our old moral values that we've held on to for centuries. And then when they bring other cultures in, of course, you notice that, you know, a lot of these cultures that's coming into this country are a constant chaos because of that. Maybe, I don't know why, I'm not going to say, I don't want to get into that, but when they bring that in, they break down. They don't care what happens. They don't care if God's in school because they might not even believe in God, you know. Then it's already begun. Like Bill said, it's just a matter of time. But, you know, we're breaking down to the standard of the other countries as far as caring about the next man, you know.
Well, you know the way I feel. We constantly have a battle against Christianity, but it goes beyond that. It's a battle against religion in general. It's a battle
But that's because the guys, those elitists, they want all your loyalty to be to them. Them only. They're your answer. They're your saviors. And they want you to look at them that way so that you'll follow whatever they tell you to do. We have bad times coming at us. We know it. Economically, socially, culturally, defense-wise, we have major problems coming at our nation. And we have the biggest group of jackasses and dumb morons that are only out for themselves in charge and doing our negotiatings.
They for us, they're against us. They may say, yeah, we're all for the American people. No. Because anybody what would try to separate all of us the way they are, supposed to unite us all, not divide us all.
And no matter what, I mean,
it's like we seen on TV the other day, and it sent my heart felt pretty good on this. I don't know what hotel it was, Ron.
It was in Kentucky.
But it was in Kentucky. But oh my goodness, all these.
They were high schoolers that had went to a college. They were there at this certain time. Happens, I guess it's an annual event. There's all these high schoolers that plan on going to that college. Were there at the hotel.
11 o'clock
at night. It's quiet hour. They all stepped out onto their balconies and sang the Star Spangled Banner.
And it all harmonized.
It went viral on the internet. But and to me, that song should touch you in your heart. There should invoke a pride inside you. And if it doesn't, then maybe you're in the wrong country.
Wrong country. You need to go somewhere else. Don't try to turn this country into
step back away. I would advise people to step back away from things and look at it from the outside. And look at what both sides, the elected of the establishment of both sides, are really doing. And you'll see that these people are putting on a show for us. But the truth is, they're both working towards the same agenda, the same ideologies in the end, where it's elitist control. And it'll get to the point where you don't bring home a check.
It's your name.
Your money automatically is deposited, and it's automatically withdrawn before you can get it home. The government will control it all.
Yeah.
They will control where you live. They will control where you can go, who you can talk to, even. It is getting to that, we're heading to that point at a fast pace. I think we're seeing a step up in the increase of pace simply because they're afraid that the upcoming elections, they may somehow lose some power, and they can't take that risk. For them, it's all or nothing. They're either get all their way or they know they're never going to get another shot like this. So they're going to try to push, don't think
that
they will ever peacefully back off and give in. They're not going to do that. They can't. Everything is staked upon things.
Yep. You have too much money to lose.
Too much to be power to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Control.
That's a lot of what it is, too, is the power.
I'm glad I don't live in New York. They got most, how they elect these people, I don't know, but the mayor of New York City, that dude needs a psychiatrist. I'd like to see his MMDI profile.
Well, they'd lock him away. Sure wouldn't be fit to hold a public office.
Well, no, they would put him on some heavy drugs, and he wouldn't be allowed to hold office.
I want to know, and let's talk about Hillary Clinton. I was just thinking earlier, you know, how her friend come off all that stuff she'd been recording about Monica Lewinsky and other things. It's just, what kind of person's best friend turns on you? Like, what's that say about their personality, you know, their stature? Man, that'll be a red flag right there. Anybody.
Your best friend writes memoirs, and it sounds like she don't like you. You've got a personality problem.
Right.
Well, most of their friends don't like them. Most of their friends are superficial friends. They like to hang around the power and the influence.
They're attracted to that. Hey, look who I'm with.
They're afraid to ignore them. afraid where they'll end up. Your show last night, and you were talking about Clinton and Arkansas and all that, it just tickling me to death because I've said the same things forever about Clinton. Rand Paul standing up and calling what he truthfully is, and that was a sexual predator.
Yep. among other things, the guy's a fucking murderer in my book. Pardon my French, but.
Now that I agree with you, Ron.
I agree.
He's as guilty as John Gotti was.
Yeah, he's involved.
I think he's worse than John Gotti because John Gotti never claimed to be anything but a damn mobster.
Right.
John Gotti never.
Clinton was supposed to be fulfilling the people's trust, the public trust. That's treason, and the son of a bitch ought to be hung.
Here's the point I want to make. John Gotti was put away on the testimony of Sammy Bull, of the Bull Gravano, Sammy who murdered people because Gotti told him to. Well, I think when you talk about Bill Clinton, and there's a long list of bodies, that Bill Clinton is just as guilty as John Gotti. Because he would have had to have been the one telling them to.
We were saying there. Same feathers of bird.
Well, oddly enough, Gotti went to prison and Sammy the Bull didn't. The actual murderer didn't go to prison.
The one what
did the murder.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Did we lose Rob?
No, I'm still here. I'm just talking to Mikey B on the Skype.
You know, that's what I'm saying. If Gotti was guilty because he told somebody to do a murder and they did it, well then, Clintons were guilty in many things, in many ways. I love when they scream about the whole birther issue and that no one ever realizes that it was the Clintons who started it.
What issue?
The birther issue.
Yeah, it was one of Clinton's biggest supporters.
Yeah. And if you look at the history of Hillary, what accomplishments does she really have? Where's her law license?
Still got hers. Bill lost his. Bill lost his for perjury.
Imagine that.
You know, a better question would be what happened to Michelle Obama's law license?
Oh, that is a good question.
And Barack Obama's law license.
Yeah.
Or I should say bar card, because it's really not a law license. There's no such thing as a license to practice law. Because the Bar Association, is a private group. You know, it's kind of like the Republican Party is a public or a private, you know, entity. It's not a government agency. And yet people register as Republicans. Well, people are registered with the bar as attorneys. And if you take the bar exam in a state, then you can be admitted to practice law in that state. Well, it's like, you know, going down to the local YMCA and joining the damn YMCA. It's a club.
Yeah.
So you got to ask, how is it that your club is so influential that it gets your club's bylaws and rules passed as law in a state? I asked that very thing about the Republican and Democrat parties. Their rules stand as law in the state when it comes to elections. How is that?
Now, that's a very good question.
Check it out.
You talk about buying influence. Seriously.
Yeah. Seriously, that is.
If you're going to vote in an election and you're going to vote for, you know, Democrat or Republican, you have to play by the rules and that are set up by the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. And not only are they just rules, they are enshrined in each state as law. How does that happen?
and both designed to make it impossible for a third party to win.
Exactly. Well, maybe not impossible, but damn difficult.
Yes. I watched that convention you were talking about and how they did Ron Paul, and it totally soured me. And, you know, I was never a 100% Paul supporter, but after that, I had a lot more respect and admiration for Ron Paul than I did the establishment of the Republican Party.
Well, how could you not? I mean, even if you were a, God forbid, Rick Santorum supporter, his people got shafted every bit as bad. And, you know, I was a delegate. I went to our county convention as a delegate, and I actually was an alternate, and I got moved up because somebody didn't show up. And we were told point blank that if we ended up at the national convention, because that would have been the next step, we would have gone from our county convention. Those that advanced from there went to the national convention. We were told we had to sign a contract stating that we would vote for Newt Gingrich regardless of what who we wanted to vote for. We had to sign a binding contract that we would vote for Newt Gingrich in the first round of votes, and we would vote for Newt Gingrich in the second round of voting if there was a second round. And then in the third round, we were free to vote for whoever we wanted.
Fuck. Shit. It wouldn't matter for them, would it?
Exactly. Now, the Republican National Committee, the election prior, had sent out a memorandum because somebody wanted to vote for Mitt Romney in 2008, and they were told by their state Republican Party that they had to vote for John McCain. And the Republican Party on the national level said, no, sir, you are to vote your conscience. And under the national Republican Party rules, there can be no binding contract to bind you to vote for anyone other than who your conscience dictates.
Right. How the hell do they get to that?
And yet, here we are, 2012, and they're dictating.
Yeah. Where is that governing body at, that agency that we need to make sure everybody is being constitutional? Who do we need to lobby to see about getting one of them going?
Hmm.
Nobody in politics,
I can tell you that.
Maybe that's something we should pursue ourselves.
You know, if he was on a state level, you'd have internal affairs.
Well, at the state level, it goes to the State Ethics Committee, which, by the way, is the same group that issues your lobbying card. But, you know, believe me, this is why I said many a times, if voting were going to win us the day, you would think after 235 years of frickin' voting, we would have gotten somewhere other than where we're at.
Hey, man.
Okay, and if you go back, and read the Bible, when the people went and said, you know, tell God to appoint us a king, what did he tell them? Now you tell me how we're doing any damn different when we go down and cast our votes than asking for us to have a king appointed over us, either King Hussein or King McCain.
So somehow we need a ballot that says the people. We're all of them.
That's why I say slaves vote.
Yep.
If your last hope is voting for some benevolent leader in political office, you better take a look at just how screwed you really are.
Ron, I voted for Alfred E. Newman against Jimmy Carter.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, either way, I was going to end up with a nut.
Yeah.
Well, and that's really the point, isn't it? It didn't matter whether it was Carter or Reagan or Bush or Clinton or Bush or Obama. The agenda remains the same. Oh, sure, they have their little pet projects that they want to fool with. But aside from their little quirks, the main agenda, the stuff that really matters, military policy, intervention, and monetary policy, that's cut and dried, and those boys don't have a damn bit of say-so over it.
And that's weird that they don't. We don't.
Monetary policy is set at the Fed and in London. And I would say that military policy is set in much the same way.
I would say so.
If you look at Vietnam, by God, if that's not enough of a proof of how military policy is dictated, you know, if they'd turn some of these generals loose to actually be generals, like they were back in the days of, say, oh, I don't know, the Civil War, and let generals prosecute the war, I think you would see things turn out a little bit differently. But we don't fight wars for other than political reasons. It's all about political strategy, and it all comes back to monetary policy.
Exactly.
Doesn't have a damn thing to do with safety or security of the average Joe Schmo. It has to do with protecting commercial interests and where can we make the most money.
Well, I think we have a bought
where you can make the most money, I'm sure is what it is.
Well, absolutely.
If that's if you're the right, I don't know, certain people. I mean, like, when we hear a lot about on the left, they scream share the wealth and they want to go after the corporations and this and that. But
they're the biggest bunch of corporate whores out there.
That's what I'm saying. You never hear them mention their own side and the corporations or the money, the billionaires that are trying to manipulate things like Soros or Bloomberg or anybody like that. They never mention their own people. They only mention a particular group they want to go after, and it's always the conservatives that they pick.
Oh, and they always wag the finger at Wall Street. I'm sorry. Who in the hell is in Obama's administration right now? Isn't it some guy, Jeffrey Immelt from, GE? Oh, and who's the other guy? Jamie Dimon? Wasn't he the president and CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase? And go look at the bankers and how much they're donating to each party. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do is look at the banking industry and how much money they donate to each presidential candidate, and that'll tell you all the story you need to frickin' know.
Well, I've always been one, Ron, that thought we should eliminate that kind of stuff, and it should be only an individual can give to a campaign, and then that amount should be fixed at a rate that most could afford and should not, be allowed to go too high.
Well, and here's the problem you got with that, Bill. It's called the 14th Amendment. And the courts have ruled that under the 14th Amendment, you know, equal protection under the law, and corporations are treated as persons under the law. So there you go. Corporations are persons, and therefore you can't do that.
Well, I think Obama was right when he said that there was not a bit of corruption in the IRS at all, because the whole damn government is corrupt. All of them's the same.
Oh, yeah, by comparison. I mean, the IRS is pure as the driven fucking snow.
You can't believe a word that comes out of their mouth.
There is not an agency one in the government that I even begin to trust, not very one of them. I know better that none of them is for my better benefit.
Let me tell you, they play games. I've got letters here. I've got file drawers full of letters between me and the IRS, right? Now, I sent them 5 years' worth of tax returns, and they sent me a letter back saying, we've determined that your returns are frivolous.
Uh-huh.
So I sent them a letter back, and I said, what is it? And I know exactly what 6301 says, and 6302 and 6304. I said, what is it on the face of the return that is substantially incorrect or raises an argument? And they sent me a letter back and said, "Well, we don't have any record of receiving your returns."
Huh.
And I said, "Well, yeah. You told me they were frivolous. Now you're telling me you didn't receive them. Can you make up my mind which it is?"
Yeah. Right.
They said, "Well, we've determined your returns are frivolous." And I said, "You mean the ones you just told me you didn't get?"
Right.
They said, "Oh, well, we don't have any record of receiving your returns." And I said, "Well, but I thought you said they were frivolous." And they said, "Your returns are frivolous." I said, "But I thought you said you didn't have no record of getting them." This went on for over a year.
Wow.
I sent them copies of the certified receipts. I said, "You mean these? You didn't get none of these? And here's your letter where you said all of these that I sent in, you say are frivolous, and now you're going to tell me you never got them. You can't have it both damn ways. It's either one or the other."
"You never got them. How could they be frivolous? How would you know?"
There you go. I mean, it's an oxymoron now, isn't it?
Was the person's last name Pelosi?
No, but you'd be surprised at some of the names on these things. I'm not even kidding you. Mercedes-Benz. You have no idea. You just, trust me. It's all about word games. They will never take a solid position. They'll waffle back and forth, and they will beat you to death with damn paperwork every week for the rest of your freaking life. Let me tell you that. I got tired of fooling with them.
My wife and I know that. We had our own little ordeal with the IRS for about a year and a half. Kept sending them the same paperwork over and over because they kept asking for it. And, you're trying to figure out, what don't you people get?
Right. And you'll get stuff from 15 different damn, I got stuff from Houston, Texas, Austin, Texas, Oregon, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Atlanta, California. I mean, they were sending me crap from all over the country. I said, that ain't fair. There's only one of me to write these responses to you jackasses. And you got thousands of people just fire off nonsense. I mean, utter nonsense. And it's just, it's a big damn circle jerk. It's just running in a freaking circle, chasing your tail.
And it's the same way in almost all government kind of offices.
Certainly.
I was ordered, when Jolene and I were divorced, I was ordered to pay child support for my son, and I was paying it. I got the sign, and 1 year, and then I put it all up, and then we got remarried. So it stopped, because I was now married to the woman, and she's supporting the kid anyway. And then I get a letter from the IRS telling me, I owe around $3,000.
What?
And it got to the point that I got kicked off all the bureaucracy trying to call this one, contact that one, and I just kept running. They kept running me in circles. So I called my state representative at the time, and Mr. Bill Bailey, and I told him, I said, "What I'm going to do is this: I'm going to give you a few days to straighten things out. Then I'm going to Louisville to Wade Street Troubleshooters." And I'm going to take all this paperwork I got where the IRS says that it's that was the county who put in a false claim on money that I didn't owe, and they were refusing to back off that claim. And within 20 minutes, I got a phone call from Child Support Division here in Jackson County and telling me that they had a check for me if I would come and get it. And when I went to get it, it was for the original amount, and I told him to rewrite it and add the interest.
Yeah, right.
You should have told him make it out to her.
I had to wonder, how many people had they done this to that never fought them?
Oh, it happens all the time. And I'll tell you something else. All these damn gurus you hear advertised on the radio, Tax Tiger and, all these guys, they are nothing but paid collection agents for the damn IRS. Don't you fool yourself for a minute, and don't you give them jackasses one penny. Not a penny.
I probably won't get health insurance this year, probably won't next year. But I think, damn, he's going to get $190 from me at the end of the year. I just ain't going to file taxes for a couple of years because I figure it won't be around by then, and then I'll file my taxes and get them back, get out of that fine altogether. I'm already thinking about ways to get around that crap. That's sad, you know. I should be.
I'll pay the fine, but I ain't going to get it.
I wouldn't mind paying for some health insurance if it was affordable.
Heck, I can't afford the deductible.
Well, they never tell you who they base that affordable on.
Yeah, you know, I got $2,000 worth of bills going out every month and only make $1,500 a month, but yet I've still got to get health insurance, and somehow managed to save, being $500 in a hole every month, somehow save for deductible. You know, how in the hell is that helping me any at all as an American? No, not. It's depressing me is what it's doing. Depressing me.
We have a system that's being set up as a dependency system, therefore giving them control through because you're dependent upon them, then you're able to control.
Yep. You'll be dependent on them for every damn thing.
Yes.
Your food, your shelter, your medical care. Might as well put a diaper on and let them come over and play nanny.
You know, Ron, these people want to totally run and control our lives. Whatever they ever successfully controlled and ran.
Well, it's like I said the other night.
Keep their own
lives
and all them scandals.
That clip stuff that I played in the beginning of my show with Burgess Meredith. And what when they're in control of everything, you don't believe for a minute that they aren't going to have those advisory boards. You've been found obsolete.
Oh, we know that's part of the agenda, too, with the depopulation.
Of course.
And I always like to ask people, do you really feel like you're just deleting us, that you're going to be in the 1 billion to 500 million they let live?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
but if you kill me, there's a better place than here.
Yeah, but I don't think that means lay down and die.
Well, no, we've got to fight.
When my battle's over, I will lay my head at my master's feet, and I will rest.
Yeah, there's nothing in that Bible about retirement. I didn't read it nowhere in there.
No. We supposed to wear the sweat of brow.
And I didn't
going
see
back on what you said earlier, we're supposed to treat people how we would want to be treated.
Yep. Well, you know, that's in the Lord's Prayer.
That was in my ideology when I became a supervisor where I worked at. I was going to treat the people the way that I always wanted to be treated when I was one of them.
That'll get you farther in life.
And it got me quite a bit. I had loyal workers that would just bust their butts for me. They were good men. They broke their backs, so to speak, to make me look good and stuff, to keep me as a supervisor. And when they moved me to another department, half the department transferred to the department they moved me to.
I tell my kids there's a consequence to each action you make, even if it's good or bad.
You got just a couple minutes here. Give us a final thought there, Rod.
My final thought is, you know, guys, keep your head above water. Keep your eyes open. Pay attention to what's going on around you. I think this thing is going south in a hurry. Got to keep your head on straight and don't lose your raisin.
I would agree with Ron there 100% on what he just said. We want everyone blessings. Hope
God
to see
bless.
You again next week on Hoot and Holler. Join Linda tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for Right from the Left Coast, and Terry on Thursday night at 6 p.m. for Patriot Education. Everyone, just keep fighting. Don't give up.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
We're just holding ground till God returns.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
God bless, guys. Thank you.